Awesome. Good to be up here once again. We're excited for another Sunday. The air conditioning is on in here. That is nice. Isn't it nice to have an air-conditioned building? It'd be a little bit hot if we didn't. Well, I have a question for you this morning. Who has said this week? I'm in such a hurry. Who said that this week? A few of you. There's some happy people who are not in a rush. That is a good thing. This morning, I want to talk about being in a hurry or a rush, but on the flip side, slowing down. Because what do we often do in life? We're busy. We go from work to school. And we're not working in school. We've got after-school activities. We've got hobbies. We've got shopping, we've got to get our groceries, and I don't know about you, maybe this is just me, but it seems like we're often in a hurry. There's something to get done, we're a little bit behind, we're always running and rushing to that next thing. And even in the summer, when kids are out of school, sometimes jobs slow down a little bit depending what your role is, but even then, we're still busy. We fill our time with activities. We've got to get to the lake. We've got to get that holiday in because time is limited. We got to get the trailer ready to get out to the lake. There's something going on all the time, and there's something busy happening in our lives. If we're not working or getting to and from activities, maybe we're watching TV or immersed in social media. And social media is kind of bad for this because you go on social media and you look, especially in the summer, what are your friends doing? Oh, they're at the cabin. They're at the lake. They're on vacation. They're doing something fun. They're doing something cool. They're doing something productive. I gotta get out there and do something. Time is short. I gotta do more. Get out there. Make things happen. We get caught up in the rush and the hurry, and then we're afraid we're missing out on some amazing thing that's just around the corner that we haven't done yet. Right? And we rush and push ourselves to do all of these things. Modern life can get a little bit crazy. I don't know what people did before cell phones. Well, I do a little bit. I didn't grow up with cell phones. But before we had internet and all of those things, right? Nowadays, we're so connected all the time that if we're not physically busy, we're often mentally busy. We may be sitting on the couch, not physically doing anything, but then we pick up our phones, and it's so easy to check a few emails, just do a little bit of work, or spend some time on YouTube or social media, which keeps our mind engaged and busy and going. We rarely just sit and do nothing. There's some sort of busyness or activity going on. Maybe I'm just talking to myself this morning. Anyone else there? Okay. There's a few of you. Good to know. Some of you might get something out of this then. So is there an alternative to the craziness of life, the way our society functions? I think there is, and I think the Bible has something to say about this. I've heard the concept called slowing, just like we have spiritual disciplines of reading scripture, Sabbath. I don't know if this is a spiritual discipline per se, but maybe it could be. Slowing. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Sounds easy enough. Be still. But like I said, even when we're physically still, like have you ever done this? You go to pray and you sit down and you start praying. It takes about maybe 30 seconds. You're like, oh, forgot to get broccoli at the grocery store. You write that down. Got to put that on the list. Oh, man. I got to send that email for work. Oh, did I write down the kids' activities for next week? And then you're off, right? You got to write all these things down, check the to-do list. You forgot to do five things, and you're no longer still. So even when we're physically still, it's hard to be mentally still. Our minds are rushing. We're thinking of all the things we need to do or the things that we've forgotten to do. And especially in our culture, I think it's not necessarily so much even physical stillness that we're lacking, because often we are physically still when we're watching TV or doing things like that, but our hearts, our minds are busy, and our bodies, mentally, we're accelerating all the time because society wants to keep us at that fast pace, right? You need to buy more stuff because you need to work harder at your job to get ahead. You need to pay down the mortgage so you can get a bigger house. You need to save so that you can buy a house. There's always something, right? You're pushing. You got to go a little bit faster. Like, why do we like fast cars? Got to go just a little bit faster. The regular old Corolla is not good enough, right? You need something a little bit faster, a little bit newer, a little bit better. And that's what our society tells us. There's always something more. And our hearts are accelerating as we pursue more. And it's not necessarily just stuff. It could be relationships. I need to be in a relationship. I need to move my relationship to the next step. I need more friends. I need a bigger social life. And we push to get more, do more. I need to be the one on social media who is doing all those cool, amazing things. I gotta travel the world. I need to take pictures at the lake. I gotta be doing something cool. Maybe it's your job. I need to be moving up in my job. I need that promotion. I need that raise. I need that next degree. I need to be just a little bit farther ahead from where I am now. So I'll ask you, for yourself, it's going to be different for everyone, but whether it's physical hurry, mental, spiritual, what keeps you hurried and worried right now? In your own heart, in your own mind. Just think of that for a second. Put something in your mind, whatever it is. What's got you hurried and worried right now? A mental and physical hurry can be a symptom of a hurried heart. So let's see if you identify with any of these symptoms. These are symptoms of a hurried heart. You lack patience. How did you react the last time someone cut you off in traffic? Or you just can't make a decision. Everything seems so complicated, you don't know what to do. Impulses are hard to resist. To eat the things that you know you shouldn't eat, to drink the things you know you shouldn't drink, to go places you know you shouldn't go, spend too much money, make poor choices, go to bed too late, don't get enough sleep, whatever it is, right? The impulses are hard to resist. A lack of contentment. Nothing seems to satisfy. You feel like something is missing. You feel scattered, disconnected, a lack of peace. Or maybe you place your identity in external things or the imagined future. I know this is one I do. I'll be happy when I get the promotion, the raise, the new vehicle, the bigger house, get married, have a kid, have grandkids, whatever it is. I will be happy when, but it's always just out of reach. And it's things that you can't necessarily control. Maybe you just are busy, but you don't really know why. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where the time goes. It just seems to slip through your hands. John Ortberg says this in a book called Soul Keeping. He says, if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. Because either way, your soul will shrivel. Our world will divert your soul's attention because it is a cluttered world. And clutter is maybe the most dangerous result because it's so subtle. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. You might not even be doing anything wrong, but you might be focused on the wrong things. Dallas Willard, this is a fairly popular Dallas Willard quote, he said that we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. So what does that mean? What does it mean to eliminate hurry from our lives? Now, I want to take a step back for a second and look at Jesus. You look at Jesus in the Gospels when you read about his life, and I would think we would say that Jesus had a busy life, especially during his ministry. I don't know what his life looked like before he was in his 3 years of ministry, but the recorded stories we have about him in his 3 years of ministry, Jesus, I would say, was busy. He had a lot going on. He's got these 12 disciples who he's working with all the time. He's training them. He's leading them. He's speaking to crowds. He's having conversations with people all the time. He's at meals with all these different people. He had a lot going on. He was busy. But in the midst of all of this, you get a sense from reading the Gospels and from Jesus that Jesus was never in a hurry. He wasn't in a rush to get from here to there, do this, do that. And I don't get the sense, like, I'm sure people did back then, had, you know, specific schedules, but I don't get the sense that Jesus had a day timer and had his schedule planned out. Like, okay, I've got a 9 o'clock with Andrew, 10 o'clock I'm gonna be at the synagogue, 11 o'clock, you know, there's gonna be that woman at the well, gotta take care of that. Jesus would know what's gonna happen to some extent, but I don't get the sense that he had a schedule in that he had all these appointments and bookings, because you often see when Jesus, he was going from one place to another place. They were doing something, going to a specific place to minister or to speak. But Jesus was often interrupted, right? Many of the stories that we have in the Bible are interruptions to what Jesus and the disciples were doing. They were walking from here to there, and someone calls out, "Jesus, help me." And Jesus wasn't like, what would we do probably? Some of us, maybe me. Oh, sorry. Busy. I don't have time to stop and talk right now. I gotta be in Bethsaida by 11 o'clock. We got an appointment there. Jesus didn't do that. Like, he never said that. He didn't say to people, sorry, I'm too busy. I don't have time. Email me. I'll get back to you later, right? Jesus stopped. He had time for people because although he was busy, he wasn't in a rush. He had margins in his schedule to take the time to be with people. He responded to people where they were at, when they approached him, because he wasn't in a rush. He had time to be with people. He was ready to deal with the daily interruptions of life and people, yet he also found time to be away from people, to spend time with God, his Father. And in the Gospel of Mark alone, it reports at least 9 times that Jesus withdrew from people in the crowds to be alone with God, his Father. He had his priorities in the right place. Even though he was busy, he wasn't in a hurry. His heart was centered in Jesus. He had his priorities where he knew they needed to be. Bill Gaultier says this, "To be unhurried like Jesus is to abandon outcomes to God. You're not trying to make anything happen. You're not trying to get anyone to do anything. You're waiting on God. You're patient. You're free to enjoy the moment, love God and be loved by God, and love your neighbor. Being unhurried is not lazy. It's to be alert, abiding in the Christ vine, and very fruitful." And I think sometimes that's where we can get confused, because if we think if we're not busy, if we're not in a rush, if we don't have something scheduled, we're wasting time. We got to plan something. We got to be doing something. We got to get to the next thing. But as we see in this quote, it's often in having margins around things that we find time to be able to do the things that we might see as interruptions, as Jesus did. Jesus was able to respond to people in the moment because he wasn't in a hurry. He had time to stop and pay attention to people. It's not lazy. It's a chance to focus on what God is doing, to listen to him, to hear his voice. And I think this is closely connected with the easy yoke of Jesus that he talks about in Matthew, where he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we talk about this, like the yoke is an instrument of work. You yoked the oxen together so that they could work. But when Jesus is sharing the load with us, we don't carry the burden alone. It's not up to me to make something happen, to do something all the time. Jesus is with me. We share the burden. And I'd say he takes a lot more of it than I do. But have you ever experienced this when you're with someone else, you're going somewhere, they are driving and you're the passenger, and you get to your destination and you have no idea how you got there, right? You weren't paying attention to the roads because you're the passenger. You don't have to drive. You don't need to know where you're going. As long as the other person does, it's fine, right? And you don't know how to get there because you weren't paying attention. You didn't need to. And I think sometimes that's how it is when we are yoked with Jesus. He's driving, and we don't need to know all of the details of how we're going to get there. We don't need to control the trip and plan everything out, have all the stops organized, because Jesus is driving, and he knows where we're going. We get to be in the yoke with him, and he leads, we follow, we work with him. So the antidote to hurry and worry is trusting in Jesus. If we trust Jesus first, worship him, follow him, allow him to lead, we get our priorities right.
I like it, Cam. Don't hurry. Get Brandon to rush up here and get new batteries. That's awesome. Good sermon illustration today. Unplanned. What do you do when the batteries die? Well-known verse in the Bible, Matthew 6:33. You're probably familiar with it. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And it's here where we find the light and easy burden of Jesus, because we stop rushing. We stop trying to make things happen. We stop trying to force outcomes. We stop trying to get people to do what we think they should do, right? Have you ever done that in your life? Maybe someone you're married to, maybe someone in your family. I have a great plan for your life, and if you would just follow these 5 steps, your life is going to turn out great. And they might be, well, that's not what I want to do, right? You ever experienced that? Jesus gets to lead us. We don't necessarily know what he's doing in other people's lives, and they might have different plans than we have for them. So we get to release the outcomes to God and trust that he's up to something good. And here, there's a difference. I want to define 2 words for you: expectation and expectancy. So expectation is when we have expectations of something, right? It could be of something or someone. You imagine how something is going to go, right? The trip is going to go like this. I'm going to be here at this time. I'm going to eat at this place. I'm going to be at the destination by this time, and I'm going to have 5 days on the beach, and it's going to be wonderful, right? And sometimes it goes great. Sometimes it doesn't, right? Vehicles break down. Schedules happen. Planes are delayed. Luggage is lost. Bathing suits forgotten. Whatever it might be, right? Or it could be in someone's life. You expect someone to do things in a certain way. I expect that my kids are going to do this. Their life is going to look like this because that's how I raised them. But it doesn't usually turn out that way. So we can have expectations of other people, of situations. It's fairly rare that it turns out exactly how we imagine it. And the unfortunate thing about having expectations like that is that if it doesn't turn out the exact way that we want to, what happens? We're disappointed, we're bummed out, we're upset. Things didn't go how I wanted them to go. Now, on the flip side, expectancy is this. I've got a quote here that tells us what expectancy is. I really like this difference. Expectancy embraces hope in Jesus amidst the broken reality we sometimes find ourselves in. Because expectancy is not rigid or demanding, it makes room for the creativity of God to emerge in ways that we can only experience through the eyes of faith and patience. Expectancy believes that light wins over dark, love wins over fear, and God's kingdom is a more profound reality than the present disappointments or setbacks that we may be facing. That's the difference between expectation and expectancy. Expectancy has an expectation tells us how things will be, and if they aren't that way, we're upset, disappointed, frustrated. Expectancy doesn't place rigid demands on things, but expects that God is up to something good, even if I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Even if I don't know exactly what's going to happen, I expect that God is up to something good. He's going to do something good in my life, in my family's life. Even if my kids don't do exactly what I think that they should do, God has a plan for their life. And he is going to do something good in their lives. Even if the people around me don't do the things that I want to do, I can believe that I want them to do, I can believe that God is doing something good in their life. I get to release the outcome to God. Trust him, let him be God, and worry about my relationship with him, not what other people are doing or not doing. Slowing down allows us to be present in the moments of life. Releasing expectations allows us to be present to what God is doing. John Mark Comer says this. We did the Practicing the Way, a couple of the Practicing the Way series earlier this year, and John Mark Comer says this. The more that we multitask or daydream through the mundane tasks of everyday life, the less capacity we develop to fully enjoy and experience the sacred moments. Because most of life is ordinary, right? You know, we get a few highlight moments in life, probably. There's a few, you know, amazing things that happen in the course of our lives, things that we'll remember. But a lot of life is just ordinary. It's going to the grocery store, going to work, dropping your kids off here and there, being at home, making meals, doing the chores, mopping the floor. A lot of life is just doing ordinary stuff. And if we pass by all of those ordinary moments that God made, we're not paying attention to any moment. And we can even miss the amazing moments because we have trained ourselves to ignore the present and just imagine something else, right? You know, back to that, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if. We ignore the moment and daydream our lives away. Slowing down allows us to use our senses to experience the world that exists around us. Author Keith Anderson says this, if we read scripture with curious eyes and ears, we learn that spirituality is not something religious per se, but something that starts in a world we can see, touch, smell, taste, hear, and encounter. And sometimes we make this dichotomy between the sacred and the secular, right? Church, well, that's sacred. Home group, home church, well, that's sacred. Volunteering at the church, that's sacred. But my job, shopping, going to the grocery store, my family, well, that's, you know, just regular life. But there is no difference. There is no, you know, sacred moment. We don't have to be in church to experience a sacred moment. All of it is just life. And we can choose to live life with Jesus. Because life happens. It's the world that we experience every moment. Psalm 34, 8 to 11 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I think the opposite of slowing down is trying to make things happen. And that's where we put expectations on things, rush into the next thing, because we got to make something happen. But when we slow down, we allow God to be God. We can be present in the moment, aware of what God is doing, and able to respond to him in the moment. So I'll ask you today, for you, maybe you're not physically busy. Maybe you are. Maybe it's a mental hurry. Maybe it's a spiritual hurry. Maybe it's a physical hurry. What is keeping you hurried? And what would it look like for you to slow your life down? Maybe not physically. Maybe it's mentally. Maybe it's spiritually. What would it look like for you to slow your life down? How do we apply this? There's a saying, maybe you've heard it, you don't find time, you make time. We all get 24 hours in a day. There's nothing we can do about that. Time is going to pass no matter what we do. You don't get to make time, you find time. So you can take a look at your calendar. What activities, hobbies, things that you do are bringing life to you? What do you enjoy doing? Maybe there's some things that you don't have to do that you are doing. What is truly enjoyable for you? What's bringing life to you? You can spend time deliberately slowing your body down. If you're someone that likes to physically rush, now this might be a little hard. Get in the slow lane and stay behind that slow car rather than passing 400 meters below the before the exit, right? Just stay in the slow lane until you get to the exit. It's a challenge and a discipline. Slow ourselves down. Or what about this one? This one would frustrate me. Get in the slow lane at the checkout and just wait. Instead of waiting, because you find the quickest checkout, right? But then you pick the wrong one, and the one you were originally in ended up being faster, right? How many times does that happen? Just pick one, go in there, and just wait. Drive the speed limit. Ooh, there's one that might be a challenge for some of us. Turn your phone off and do nothing. Don't check your phone. Begin the day in prayer and reading the Bible. These are just some ideas that you could incorporate in your life. You don't have to do all of them. You don't have to do any of them. But there's some ideas that might be helpful for you. Take time and simply rest in God's presence and love with no agenda or timeline. Just be present to God. Not even doing anything. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Say something like, God, I'm here in your presence. And just rest. A couple of months ago, I preached on Sabbath, and I think Sabbath is an essential practice for us to slow down. And I read this quote, and I said that. I'll repeat it here. Bill Gaultier says this: in order to eliminate hurry, you'll need to practice Sabbath. Regularly, you need to set aside a large block of time to be unhurried and unproductive. Do nothing. Don't try to make anything happen. Relax, pray, enjoy God and your family. So what would it look like for you today if you released outcomes to God, trusted that he is up to something good? You don't have to make anything happen on your own. When we slow down, we release that need to make things happen in our lives, to push forward. When we move slowly and intentionally, we give ourselves time to experience the world around us. And this might sound kind of silly, but when was the last time you actually stopped to smell the roses? Right? When did you stop to just take in a beautiful moment in the day? Maybe it's the coffee. Stop and smell the coffee. That's a good one to do. But it's just to pause, right? To take time in our days to pause, take 5 deep breaths, and enjoy moments. What would it look like if you had the time to find yourself present in the everyday moments of life, curious about people, curious about God, curious about what God is up to? Now, I don't know what's around the corner in your life. I don't know what's around the corner in my life. But I do know that God is up to something good. Sneak preview, right? God wins. We know that. So we know that he is up to something good. I know he's going to be right beside you. I know he's going to be right beside me, no matter what happens in life. And I know that as we go around the corner, he is with us, leading, guiding. We're in that yoke with Jesus together. If I don't get everything done that I wanted to do, it's not the end of the world, because Jesus is going to finish the work, not me. Lord, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray as we seek your presence today, would you help us to follow you? Whatever is going on in each person's life, Lord, wherever we're at, I pray that you would help us to be present to you. That we would have time to spend with you. That we'd have time for the spontaneous moments of life. Lord, that we would find the time to see you in everything, to be present. Lord, I pray as we go this week that you bless each person here, that in their lives they would sense your presence, sense your love, your care for them. We thank you for who you are, that you are up to good things, and you're going to do good things, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, it's summer. Hopefully you get to enjoy a nice afternoon today in the heat. Have some fun. Enjoy your Sunday. And we will see you back here next week.